Pray first, actually. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for just this time of worship. And that we could come together as a church family to have our service together. And just very grateful for this opportunity to stand before the church today. I pray that, Father, you would release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in this place so that we may know you better. God, I pray that you give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you are saying to us today. And I humble myself before you. Pray that you'll use me to speak your word to SP Hong Kong, the word that you have for our church, God. Thank you for this time. We give this time to you. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Sam. It is surreal to think that this is our last service here in SP Hong Kong. I want to thank you for all of your prayers and your encouragement, your support, your gifts and the meals, and it's just been really great to get to spend some time with many of you in these last few months of us being here in Hong Kong. So I've been in SP Hong Kong for 20 years. My wife has been here for 14 years. I was 22 years old when I came to this church, and Monica was 25 when she came. And some of you, I think some of you have been here the whole time, the whole 20 years we've been together. So it's wonderful, and it's such a privilege. It's an amazing journey. Just to think back the past 20 years, God has been with us. God has led us and guided us and protected us. You know, God brought Mon and I together. That's another story for another time, but it's a miracle of God how God brought us together. And he's just been faithful through all the ups and downs for us as a family, but also just as a church together, been through the ups and downs. SP Hong Kong, I mean, this church really, it has meant everything for us. It's our work, it's our friends, and it's also our family, both literally and spiritually. Like, all of our family is here in Hong Kong, like Matt, my brother, Trish, Monica's sister. And all the family we have in Hong Kong are part of this church, like literal family and also spiritually, we're a family. So, yeah, it really is everything for us. Our children, their friends are here, you know. They'll be sad to go. So it is difficult to imagine life outside of SP Hong Kong. But we are excited also, like P. Sam said, we are excited for what is ahead. And we're thankful for the opportunity. I want to thank P. Sam and Lisa, she's out there, for building this community, this amazing community. And I really mean this. I owe my life to your love and sacrifice to this community and to your work here in Hong Kong. So thank you, Pastor Sam and Lisa. It's true. I mean, I don't know where I would be if we didn't have SP Hong Kong, you know? I'm sure. I mean, God is good. We're just saying. God is sovereign. God reigns. And he would have taken care of us, but it would have looked very different. You know, I don't know where my life would be. I was thinking, you know, at SP, we value the word, right? And we want to stay true to the word. So I was trying to look in the Bible for some examples of farewells, you know, what's a biblical way to do farewell? And I came across Acts chapter 20, where Paul visits Troas for the last time before he goes to Rome. And you know what he does in Troas? He starts the Sunday service, and he speaks through the day until midnight, and then he speaks through the night until the next day, until the next daylight. So get ready, you know, get comfortable. We're going to be biblical in our farewell today. Just kidding. I thought about sharing 20 lessons I have learned in my 20 years at SP, but I decided to reduce it to 2 points. I just want to share with you how I have grown here at SP and hopefully encourage you to grow in the same way. Okay, so just 2 things, one per decade that I have been here at SP. All right, how I have grown in my time at SP. Number one, the first point is the kindness of God. The kindness of God. This is probably the biggest lesson I've learned. This is, like, if I look at what is the main growth, one of the major growths that I have had here at SP is learning about the kindness of God. Learning that God is kind, that He is good, because that changes everything. If your view of God, and you understand the character of God, that He is a kind Father, that changes everything about the way you live your Christian life. I have a passage, Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 32 to 36. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High. Listen to this. Because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So Jesus is teaching here. He's saying, look, your Father is merciful. He is a merciful Father, and He is kind even to the ungodly. Therefore, I want you to extend the same kind of mercy and kindness even to your enemies. That's what Jesus is saying, right? But I want to point something out here. I want to focus on this. Jesus says, God, your Father in heaven, He is kind even to the ungrateful and to the wicked. So if God is kind even to the ungrateful and the wicked, how much more is God kind to you who love Him and who desire to follow Him and obey Him, right? How much more would God extend His kindness to us as we try to love Him and follow Him? This is, again, one of the biggest lessons I have learned. It started with YWAM. I know we have some YWAMers in our church. It started with YWAM right after my college days when I was 21. But it really matured here at Solomon's Porch, that God is good, that God is kind, more specifically. Hey, before I go on, Rachel Chow, could you text Monica and let her know that we're going to be praying, do the prayer thing at the end of the sermon. And then if you can message her towards the end of the sermon, please. Thank you so much, Rachel. Because I didn't get a chance to let her know. Bobby Connor, who's been a guest speaker here a few times, Bobby Connor says, so many Christians know just enough about God to be miserable. Right? So many people just know just enough about God to be miserable. I don't know what he means by it, but I relate to that. That was exactly where I was. Pastor Sam shared how I came to Hong Kong and I wanted to go into teaching, and for some reason I was resistant to ministry. So I want to share with you, that's perfect intro, P. Sam, because I wanted to share with you why I was resistant to going into ministry. It's because of this reason. So just sharing with you a little bit of my journey. I grew up in a Christian home. My fourth generation pastor. So I don't know. I don't know how It's confusing to get name all the people, but my grandfather, whom I grew up with, was a pastor of a church. So we attended his church, and then my dad was a missionary at the time, and then he eventually became a pastor. So just growing up in church in a very Korean Christian home can be a little bit religious, you know, a lot of great things, but it can be a little bit religious, a lot of rules, regulations. So I grew up with a lot of expectations put on me of what it means to be a Christian. You know, you have to do all of these things. You have to pray every day, read your Bible every day, and if you don't, you're not a good enough Christian. And all these things, just so many things, feeling like I have to perform, you know, I have to be good enough, perform enough for God. So eventually, this is all very well hidden in my heart because I was a good kid my whole young life. You know, I never rebelled. I never, you know, I walked away from God. I had a short stint one summer where I hung out with the wrong crowd. I was tried alcohol, you know, Sub-Zero. I don't know if you guys know that drink. And I took a puff of a cigarette one summer, but God took me out of that and put me in a youth group where I encountered the Holy Spirit. So I never walked away from God. I didn't even know it because it was so deep down, hidden in my heart. But inside, deep down, I felt burdened by God. You know? Just all this. A lot of times coming to God, it felt heavy. I felt weighed down because I was never good enough. I always felt like, oh Lord, I'm such a sinner. I was deeply addicted to pornography as a teenager. So you do that and you go to church, that messes with your mind, you know? And obviously just doing a lot of things that are not godly, but at the same time wanting to live for God and feeling like I have to live for God. I encountered God in youth groups. I knew he was real. So just a mix of things. I felt burdened by God. And I didn't know it, but I felt angry with God. And I resented God for how miserable he made me feel deep down inside. And so I didn't know any of it. I had 4 years in this Christian school called Biola University, learning, growing, having a great time. And on the outside, and even to myself, I thought I was a good Christian, but it all kind of came out towards the last year. In my last year, towards my graduation day, I'm sharing with my men's group. We had a men's group in my college, and we're sharing with each other, what are our plans for after graduation? You know, what are you going to do after graduation? Very normal question. That's the different people. You know, people are taking turns sharing, like, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to study further, or I'm going to get a job here. And when it comes to my turn, I mean, you know, memory is fuzzy, but this is kind of the gist of what I said is, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I didn't know. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know this. I know that God's going to make my life really difficult. He's going to take me somewhere. It's going to be very hard because he needs to train me. Because he wants me to grow, and he's going to make my life miserable. And somehow through that, he's going to be glorified. That's kind of what I was sharing. That's what I believed. I believed God was just going to take me down this difficult, difficult path. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I was going to be miserable, and it's going to be hard, but somehow, through that, I'm going to somehow give God glory and come out of that having grown. That's not an untrue statement. We grow through hardship, but my view of God was that he's just out to get me. Pastor Sam has said many times, God is for you, not against you. But at the time, I felt like God was against me. Anything I wanted, he's probably going to, nah, that's stupid. Don't do that. I'm going to take you to a hard thing, but this is the right thing for you. And as I'm sharing it, for the first time, I think, in my life, I felt all this anger rising up in me. I was like, God's going to do this, and I don't know why, but this sucks. You know, I don't know why God's going to do this. He's just going to do this to me. And I don't know why, but I just know that's what's going to happen. And all this anger came out. It was the first time I noticed this anger that is in my heart. And then as I'm sharing that, I realize, oh man, I've got some issues. I don't know where this is coming from, but so I resented God. I was angry at God. And I was interning at the time because I was studying to be a pastor. After my second year in college, I felt God was calling me into ministry. So I switched my major to Christian education. And so for that Christian education, for about 2 years of my Christian education period, I had to get an internship. And so I was interning at this Korean American church in Irvine. And this is genuinely how I felt. It was deep down. I didn't know how to articulate it until later. But honestly, to my kids, I felt bad for my kids that they were Christian. Isn't that crazy? As a pastor, I looked at my youth group students, and deep down, the honest feeling I had was, oh man, it's so sad that you guys are Christian. Because if you weren't, you could just do whatever you want to do. You could be successful and enjoy life and do whatever, but because you're a Christian, now you have all this burden laid on you. You know, you got to do this and this and this. So, I mean, that's not a good place to be in, to do ministry. And I think it was kind of along this time when I was sharing with the men's group, and I felt all this anger rising up in me, that I began to recognize, oh man, I have these feelings, honest feelings about ministry, about the youth group. I had nothing to give to them because my honest feeling towards them was, oh man, it would be so much better if you weren't a Christian. How do you do ministry with that heart? So that's why after graduation, I thought I can't go into ministry, and that's why I was resistant. I just said, I'm not ready. I don't think I could do ministry. And so thankfully after college, I went into YWAM for a six-month discipleship training school program, DTS. And it's there where, maybe not the first time, but it's there that I really learned this practice of hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. How does God feel about you? You know, what is God saying to you? And it's here, I guess as a slightly older person, I experienced, you know how we have ministry time. We do it all the time here. When somebody receives prayer, you put your hand on them, you pray for them. And sometimes if you wait to see what is God wanting to say to this person, and you download and you share. I had never done that before. Maybe in youth group I had, but I don't remember it. So in YWAM, we did this all the time. And so lots of times, different speakers will come. For 3 months, you have a different speaker almost every week. And they teach, and then we have ministry time together. And many times, these speakers would have practiced these things where somebody would come up and a group of people would gather around that person to pray. And whenever it was my turn, God would say, through all these people, God would say, Nate, I just feel like God is so pleased with you. I just feel like God's so pleased with you. And it like, I'm sure it felt good the first time, but it just kept happening over and over and over again. Different speakers would come, and different times people would say, Nate, I just feel like God's so pleased with you. And then it continued on into SP. So I came to SP. SP practices that. We had different prophetic people come to our church. And that's not even a very, very profound prophetic word, right? It's not a very profound. Like, if you were to come up to the front and Pastor Sam prayed for you and all he said was, brother, God is pleased with you, you would say, that's it. Nothing about, you know, the deepest secrets of my heart, you know. But it was not a profound word, but that's often, for a few years, so often, God would say through different people, Nate, I just feel like God's saying, he's so pleased with you. He's so pleased with you. And I think I just needed to hear it over and over and over and over again for my heart toward God to shift, you know, and my view of God to shift from seeing him as this taskmaster, just difficult to please, and I'm just breaking my back trying to do the right thing and trying to perform and feeling burdened and feeling miserable into knowing him as my father. Full of kindness. You know, just so kind. He's not angry with me. He's not angry or disappointed with me. He's pleased with me. I want to ask you a question. Just take 10 seconds to reflect. Is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with you? If you were to go to God and ask that question, God, are you pleased with me? What would God say? Now, I don't know for sure. It's not a guarantee. Why do I say it? Because Paul is very clear in two passages. I don't have the reference, but he says, make it your life's aim to please God. Right? Make it your life's ambition to please God. And I think it's in Ephesians. He says, find out what pleases the Lord and do it. Which implies that you can do things that are not pleasing to God. Right? So it's not an automatic thing. So I don't know for sure, but we have good reasons to think, yes, I think God is pleased with me. I have two things why I base that answer. Based on two things, I think we have confidence to say, I think God is pleased with me. Number one is based on our position as his children. If you are a Christian, you have given your life to the Lord, you receive Jesus into your heart, the word of God says in John chapter 1, verse 12, we have that. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You have become children of God. If you're a child of God, you are just pleasing to him. If you're a parent, you know. Even if you're not a parent, you know. When you see a child, you're just pleased. When you see your children are born, they don't have to do anything. You're just pleased with them. There's a baseline pleasure you have over your children. You just say, man, you don't have to do anything. You can't even be difficult. This morning, why it's a little hectic today, why we couldn't come and receive prayer like we were supposed to is because Zoe, on the taxi from home to church, she had this massive throw up. She threw up. She was sitting on Monica. She threw up all over herself, threw up all over Monica, and Monica's changing and trying to wash up. Our helper is graciously bringing some new clothes for us. I have a little bit of throw up too here, but just a little bit. So I thought, what can I do? I gotta preach. You know, but am I not pleased with Zoe anymore because she threw up all over me? No. We still feel pleasure over her. Right after she threw up, she felt all better, you know? And she's playing with her brothers, and we're stressed, but that baseline pleasure we have over our children doesn't change, right? Will we be more pleased if she didn't throw up? Probably, you know? But there is a level of pleasure we just have over our children. So based on our position, second, based on the kindness of God. Based on his kindness, as revealed in Scripture, I can say God is probably pleased with you. Psalm 103, verse 8 to 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. You know? God is kind. He knows that we are but dust, and he extends compassion and grace and kindness to us. The kindness of God means that he is easily pleased. He's not this difficult to please, angry, you know, taskmaster, just requiring, demanding, you know, back-breaking effort to meet his impossible standard, to try to attain that standard that is impossible. God is easily pleased because he knows what we're made of, and he's full of compassion and grace and kindness. And so he looks at us, and I believe he sees our hearts. In verse 11 and verse 13, it says, God, so great is his love to those who fear him. He has compassion on those who fear him. If in our heart we fear God, and if in our heart we say to God, God, man, I love you. I love you. I know that I messed up, Lord. I know that I messed up. I know that I didn't do this and didn't do that. And I know I keep falling short of your standard. But God, I love you. And it's my desire to follow you. And it's my desire to obey you. But yet I fall short all the time. God, and I come to you. When you come to God with that heart where you fear him, God will say, hey, I see your heart and I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. You know, that's the kindness of God. He's easily pleased. You don't have to earn, right? You mess up one time, right? You have a big fight with your wife or with your kids. You lose it at your kids, or you do stuff on the internet you're not supposed to, and you mess up and you fail. You don't have to earn back. It's not a probation period, you know? You have to earn back your standing before God. You just turn to God and he says, man, I see your heart of love and I see your sincere desire to love me and follow me, and I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you. I just want to share with you one more passage, John 21, verse 15 to 19. This is one of my favorite passages. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. We're familiar with this story, right? It's Peter's confession. No, Peter's restoration. Peter, before Jesus is arrested, Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to die. And what does Peter say? Never, you know, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm going to be with you until the very end. And Jesus says to the disciples, to all of them, you're all going to desert me. And Peter says, no, even if everybody leaves you, I will not leave you. Even if I have to die with you, I will not leave you. And then Jesus says to him, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. I don't know if Peter understood that. Maybe he thought, Jesus, whatever, I'm going to be with you. When the time comes, we all know the story. Peter denies Jesus three times, right? Three times different people come to Peter. Hey, aren't you a disciple? No, I'm not. What are you talking about? You know, he curses and says, no, I'm not. And then the rooster crows and he weeps bitterly. And then Jesus is resurrected. And I think this, I mean, we're not sure exactly how Jesus interacted with all the disciples. But this looks like it's the first time Jesus is really having this conversation with Peter. So can you imagine Peter in this place? He's probably feeling so burdened. So like, oh my gosh. Jeez, does Jesus know? You know, maybe Peter's hoping. Maybe Jesus doesn't know that I denied him three times. Maybe he doesn't. And then Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? the first time. And the scene is set to be very similar to the scene where Peter denies Jesus. So Jesus is bringing him back to that scene. Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, I don't know, I'm reading into it a little bit. I just imagine Peter saying, Jesus, you know that I love you. You know, he's like, do you know? I think you know what happened, but you know that I love you. And then Jesus doesn't say, you wretched fool, you know? He just says, feed my sheep. He does it a second time, and then he does it a third time. It says Peter is grieved because he said it a third time. It doesn't really explain to us why he was grieved. Some people say that because Jesus used a different Greek word for love in the third one, that Peter is grieved. Some scholars say maybe that's not the case because the difference wasn't actually that significant at the time. So we're not sure. Maybe Peter is grieved because now he just knows the third time I've denied Jesus three times, Jesus for sure knows what happened. But I love what Peter says here. Peter is grieved, and then he says, Lord, you know everything. To me, that's Peter's confession. That's Peter's surrender of his weakness to God. It's saying, Lord, you know how I have failed you. Lord, you know of my empty promises that I made before you. Lord, you know that I messed up. You know that I don't deserve your grace and your forgiveness. But Lord, you also know my heart. You know that I love you. I just love that. I love, and Peter says, Lord, you know all things. God, you know exactly what happened. I can't hide, you know, I can't pretend that this didn't happen. I can't hide from you, you know, I can't try to make up for what I did and try to pretend that I'm stronger. You know, it's just a place of surrender and saying, Lord, you know that I'm a mess. But you also know that I love you. And Jesus doesn't say, again, how could you do this to me? You know, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say, I'm so disappointed that in that one moment where I needed you to follow, you know, he doesn't say any of that. He just says, okay. He restores Peter's leadership, basically. He restores Peter's ministry. He says, feed my sheep. Right, do the thing that you know you are called to do. And then even more so, he goes on to say that actually, you are going to fulfill your desire, which was to die for me. He even restores him back to the place. You are going to fulfill the desire you had even to die for me, because he prophesies basically how Peter is going to die. So yeah, Jesus is saying, you're not disqualified. Right? Jesus says to Peter, you're not disqualified. And Jesus is saying to Peter, I know that your love for me back then, when you boldly proclaimed, I will follow you and I will even die for you, Jesus says, I know that your love for me back then was real, and I received it. That's the kindness of God, you know? That's the kindness of God. And because we have a kind God, when you ask God right now, or when you ask yourself, is God pleased with me? It's not just a blanket statement. We just say, yes, I believe it, you know? That's okay, but we need to have some reasons why we can say, based on what do we say? Yeah, I think God is pleased with me. Based on our position as his children and based on his kindness, the kindness of his heart, I think we can say, yeah, God, even though I'm far from perfect, I've failed you so many times, I've denied you so many times, but based on your kindness, I trust that you are pleased with me. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help him in time of need. It says, approach God's throne with confidence. Go, draw near to God's throne with confidence. We have confidence because our sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, right? By the blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's why the reality is we have confidence. We can have confidence to enter into the throne of God, but often we don't feel confident because we don't know the kindness of God. And that feeling of confidence, I think, would come when you encounter the goodness and the kindness of the Father. When you know His heart, then you can feel confident. And I love this picture of confidence that I learned from Pastor Sam. I'm sure you remember. How do you know when you're, like, the picture of having confidence is you're not coming before God and so, like, intimidated and ashamed and embarrassed. But the picture of confidence is when you go, wherever you're living, when you go to your parents' home, when you go to your parents' house and you're their child, you don't go into their home and ask every permission for everything you want to do. Oh, Mom and Dad, can I sit on this? Can I? Do I need to take my shoes off? Can I sit down on this couch? Can I turn the TV on? I'm a little hot. Would it be okay if I turn the AC on? No, you just do. You just do. I was just at my parents' place because I was in Korea. I just came back yesterday. And I opened the fridge, you know, and I said, I came back from a long day where, like, buying stuff and measuring the apartment and stuff, and I was tired, and I just opened the fridge, and I was like, I just want to eat something yummy. So I opened the fridge, and then my mom's like, oh, what do you want? You know, this, I'm just confident. You know, I'm like, open the fridge, and there's a rare Australian-made grapefruit sparkling juice, and I just took it. It's like, oh, this is from Australia. I don't even know if they can ever get it in Korea, but I just opened it, drank it, shared it with my parents a little bit, and had their last soy milk when I was in the fridge. That's confidence. You know, we can feel confident when we go before God. We're not like, oh, Lord, I think it's good. In a way, I think it's good to have that fear of God. Because He is holy. He is holy and He is kind. It's both. It's not, we don't forget about the holiness of God and just have a casual approach to God. I mean, I preached about the fear of God a few months ago, right? But it's a balance. It's the radical middle, right, of both. We know the kindness of God and the fear of God. So that's the first point. That was a long point. The second point is shorter. The second thing I want to say, the first point is what I learned. This is what is the growth that I had. I really learned the kindness of God, and that changed everything in my approach to God. The second thing I want to share with you is how did I grow? How did I grow in my 20 years at SP? What did I have to do to grow at SP? And I want to encourage you to do the same. Is if you can have that up, please. Number two. Say yes to most things. Say yes to most things. What do I mean by that? I have grown here, I think, because as much as I can, I have tried to say yes to all the different opportunities that were presented to me to grow spiritually. Right? I just said yes to these things. Can we have the next slide up, please, Stephen? There are serving opportunities, leadership opportunities, and encounter opportunities. We'll go into it a little bit in detail, but all three types of opportunities to grow spiritually, say yes to them. Notice I didn't say, I thought about titling this part, just say yes. But that's not true, because you can't say yes to everything, right? You have to pray, right? Then the opportunity is presented to you. Can you lead house church, or can you lead this discussion? Why don't you come on this mission trip? Why don't you serve here and there? You can't say yes to everything, I know. So you pray. But I want to encourage you, say yes to many things, as many as you can. Say yes to most of the things that are presented to you. Because let's be realistic. How many of us say no because the Lord said no? Or how many of us say no just because of our we don't want to be inconvenient, Right? We're inconvenienced, right? Just for the sake of our convenience and comfort and ease. How many times do we reject these opportunities to grow simply out of our desire for comfort, simply out of our mind being set on temporal, earthly things instead of our minds being set on heavenly things? So say yes to most things. There is no biblical text for this per se, but the Bible is mostly made up of stories of men and women who have said yes to God, right? Stories don't get written down about people that said no. Can you imagine if David said no to Goliath? We're not going to read about a King David that saw Goliath taunting the Israelites and he decided to walk away. We're not going to have that story. We're not going to have, right? We're not going to have, Noah who didn't build the ark. You know, we're not going to have these stories. These stories get recorded because people have said yes to these opportunities, to these invitations from God to serve and to lead and to grow and to encounter him. So, serving opportunities. This is what I mean by this is things like Shanti VBS. Right? There was an announcement today, I believe. I wasn't here because I was moving around with the kids. But Shanti VBS is happening. Just say yes, you know? Say yes to it. Why not? Why not? Is it that difficult to make a little bit of time? I know it is inconvenient. It is difficult, but make time for it. I went last year, and it was amazing to see the ministry that Godwin has cultivated, developed in Yuen Long, and all these children coming. And it's so wonderful. You're going to experience God through that. You're going to experience the heart of God for these kids through that. Mission trips. We have a few other mission trips coming up. Just sign up. Say yes. Local outreach opportunities. SP Kids is always looking for teachers. SP Youth probably needs volunteers as well. Right? Say yes to these things. I just want to share with you, the ministry that I served here at SP, that was outside of my paid ministry, that really I remember with fond memories is Homie Outreach. It's taken a different shape now, I think, but back when I was involved in it, we used to visit a subdivided flat out in the Western District here in nearby. So we took a tram, and we would visit one floor, and there would be four or five different people there living in these tiny, tiny subdivided flats full of bed bugs. And we would go, and we would visit each home. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you. Sometimes they are just watching TV the whole time. But we just try to talk with them. We pray for them. We share Jesus with them. And with one particular person, Mr. Y, he eventually got placed in a public housing, which is so much better for him. So we didn't see him after that. But man, we developed a friendship with him. Like we would celebrate birthdays together. You know, we even invited him to some kind of a concert. Like I remember we got him tickets and we like sat down with him and just built this relationship with him, sharing Jesus as much as we can with him. And then with another lady, she would always invite us over for tea. And she would always serve us tea. And it was myself, my wife. This is before we had kids. And every Thursday, we were so tired. I don't think there was one week where we were like energized before we go. We're always tired. We're like, and then because we meet, everybody meets together. We go to different places. We meet together. We pray together. We worship together. And during that time, sometimes I fall asleep. I'm like, I'm so tired. Lord, please be with us. But then once we go, the energy of God just comes. It's just the strength of God comes because you feel the heart of God for these people, for the elderly. And you experience something different, you know? And we would come out, we would debrief. I would take my youth group kids there too. And we would take bed bugs off of each other's clothes sometimes because we don't want to bring it home. And we just pray together and we experience God together in that way. We experience the heart of God for the poor. Our eyes are opened a little bit more to the situation here in Hong Kong. We're not just in our expat bubble, you know, of just our comfortable life here. I was thinking, if you talk to any parents here that have gone through SPFAM fostering, I'm sure they would say the same. I'm sure it's probably one of the hardest ministries to say yes to, and yet the most rewarding, because you learn the heart of God for these children that come into your home. Leadership opportunities. At different times, people are going to invite you. Hey, can you share a testimony here? Can't you come back from a mission? Can you share a testimony here? Can you share a short devo here? Or can you lead worship here? Can you lead worship at Alpha Ministry? Can you lead worship at House Church? Sometimes you might be asked, can you pray about leading House Church? You know, just say yes. I mean, pray about it, but say yes to most things. Because yes, it's hard, but you're going to experience the strength of God coming over you. That's how my journey of ministry started. Like P. Sam said, he didn't trick me. I don't think he ever tricked me, but he invited me to step into different things. He invited me to do part-time youth ministry and lead a mission trip and start being the worship pastor and start doing all these things. And little by little, you grow. You do something that you just feel like, man, I cannot do this. You rely on God, and then you learn and you grow. Encounter opportunities. What I mean by encounter opportunities is things like retreats. That's where you have an opportunity to encounter. You don't have to volunteer or lead anything. You just go. You encounter God. Men's retreat, I think, was announced. Women's retreat has been announced for a little bit. Annual retreats, 21-day fast, you know? Maybe one day, one year, there was 1 year Pastor Sam invited the whole church to do a 36-day fast because we wanted to give God 10% of the year. So maybe he will do that again, right? And just say yes, all right, Pastor, let's do it. Let's fast for 36 days, right? Let's seek the Lord. And let's take the next step. If you gave up one meal, let's give up two meals. If you gave up two meals, let's give up all meals. If you gave up whatever. You didn't just take the next level. And just take those opportunities to experience God. All these different conferences we have. You have these opportunities to meet God. I just want to share with you one quick story and then we'll be done. I want to share with you just a testimony. I was at a men's retreat. This is our last men's retreat before COVID, 2019. And my details are fuzzy. I never wrote this down. But I think it was 2019 men's retreat. And I was... This is the introduction to Men's Retreat. We had a few people come up and just share, give a little primer for what's to come. And they had us just pray and ask, wait on the Lord, ask God, God, what do you want to do? You know, what gift do you want to give to us in this time? And, you know, again, I wish I had written these down. I didn't write them down, so I couldn't find it anywhere. So my details are a little fuzzy. But I was a little sleepy at the time, but I was praying and I was spending some time with God. And I felt very distinctly God dropping something in my heart and saying, I want to give you a gift. And that gift is going to be a baby girl. This is 2019, so Owen would have been one and a half. We had no desire for a third. I don't know if we had talked about it. We probably talked about it and said, we're done. It's crazy. We're done. But maybe in my heart a little bit, I was like, you know, you always want to have a girl, right? So God dropped in my heart, you have a baby girl. But it was like so strong. So I was like, wow, okay, thank you, Lord. But I was wise enough to know I shouldn't share it with anybody. So I just kept it all in my heart. And then we would have discussions at home, like, hey, should we have a third? You know, when things come up, people ask you. And I never said anything to Monica. All I said was, I'm open. But, you know, and because she was quite like, I don't want to do it. But, you know, the whole time, as I said, I'm open, I just knew. It's going to come. It's going to happen. And so sure enough, it happens. Eventually, sometime later, I think after my brother and Rachel, they have their third. And then I think her heart kind of changed a little bit and was like, oh, maybe. And then she said, yeah, okay, let's go for it. We get pregnant, and I just knew in my heart because of that experience, that encounter with God. I just like, I'm going to be a baby girl. But I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't even share it to Monica. I just said, yeah, who knows? Who knows? We don't know. And we decided with the doctor for this last one, because we knew this was going to be our last. We said, let's not find out the gender. We're going to do this big gender reveal party. And so we got the note from the doctor. We gave to Trish, Monica's sister, to plan something. And this is all just in my heart. I'm not sharing with anybody. But this whole time, I'm like pretty confident. And even though I don't say it to anybody, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a girl. It's going to be a girl. It's going to be a God's going to give me a gift. It's going to be a girl. And then it's like the week before the gender reveal party, doubt. I gave into doubt. Doubt comes into my mind. And then I start to think, what if I made this whole thing up in my mind? And what if it's going to be a boy? What if we go there and we do the thing and it's blue and it's a boy? I'm going to be so disappointed. So in my heart, I'm like preparing myself. I'm like, okay, I got it wrong. I just, you know, I made this up, this whole thing. It could be a boy. It could be a boy. It could be a boy. So that's kind of sad. Lack of faith on my part on that one. But so I was kind of preparing, but I guess deep down, still thinking it's going to be a girl. And sure enough, we did the gender reveal party, and we open up this box, and pink balloons come up, and isn't that wonderful? And if I hadn't gone to men's retreat, I wouldn't have had that encounter. You say yes to these opportunities. I don't remember much else about the men's retreat. But I had this one encounter with God. But that's generally the case. You have one encounter with God. That's the thing you remember. The rest of the thing is good. It's fun. It's wonderful. But man, you have those encounters. But if you never go to these things, you're robbing yourself of these opportunities. And so now when I look at Zoe, I have this whole backstory I can think back to and say, wow, what a gift from the Lord. And so just want to encourage you, you know, say yes to most things, right? The ones that where God says, don't do it, don't do it. But if it's just out of your own desire for comfort and convenience and ease and you're just lazy, overcome it and say yes. Because you are putting yourself in these opportunities to grow, encounter God. Amen. Let's, can I invite the worship team to come, please? Let's just go before the Lord. Yeah. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you that we can come and be in your presence. God, even Sunday service is an opportunity, Lord, to encounter you and to meet with you, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would come in this time and reveal your kindness to us, Lord, in this time. Yeah, it's really the one thing that just changed my whole Christian life, knowing the goodness of God, knowing the kindness of God. And Lord, there are many of us here, God, that still don't know. God, we don't know your heart. We don't know your character. God, we hold back because we don't think that we can fully surrender to you. We can't fully trust you because we don't know if your heart for me is good. You know, we just have this doubt, God. And I just pray, Lord, that each person here, that you would release a revelation of your kindness, your goodness, God, your mercy, God. You're a merciful Father. You're not angry with us. You're not disappointed with us. You're not putting this heavy burden on our hearts, in our lives, and saying, what's wrong with you? Yeah, but instead you're saying, man, I'm so glad you are here. And I'm so pleased with your heart to love me and follow me. And I just pray, Lord, that we would be like Peter in some ways, God. That we would, confess our love to you, God, and sing these songs of love and devotion and commitment. Because that's sincere, God. That's coming from a sincere heart. And then when we fail, that we would come before you in humility, as Peter did, and just say, God, I'm sorry. You know all things, God, but thank you for your mercy and kindness, Lord. And I thank you that you restore us when we do that. Yeah, the worship team is going to lead us in this song. Why don't we stand and just respond to the Lord in this time?
Can I have Nate and Mon and the Chungs, can you come to the front? And Zoe and the boys. I think it's such an appropriate song that we just sang, because I think we got to experience the goodness of God through the Chungs. Nate for the last 20 years, Mon 14. Okay, let's pray. Won't we come? Want to surround this incredible family. Let's pray for them. Let's send them off to Korea. Let's pray together. As we pray, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for this journey of life. Lord, you bring special people into our lives that we get to walk together. We get to grow together. We get to live life together. We get to enjoy God together. Lord, we get to become a family. Lord, your blood is thicker, God, than our blood. And so we thank you for the Chungs, God. We thank you for 20 years of your faithfulness, of walking together, of really building this house. Lord, the story of SP, God, cannot be told, God, without the Chungs. And so, Lord, as we send them off, God, Lord, would you bless them, Lord? Would you use them powerfully, God? Would you help them to lead another family, God? Same, but different. Lord, that you would use them to pastor and to lead, and that so many people in Korea, God, can experience you like we have been. And so we send them off, God, three beautiful children, that we send them off, God, with blessing, God, with your grace. Lord, we're so grateful, God. We love you, Lord. And to the whole church, God, we're thankful. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, this day forever, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.